in the background. This is a golden hour ride, maybe a little bit after golden hour. We'll call it dusk in San Francisco. A ride to Taqueria Cancun, of all places, and a Ricky Pearsall update. Ricky is going to be back at practice for the 49ers tomorrow with exactly 2 weeks to go until the start of the regular season. And this is, I mean, we've had so many examples of this over the course of the past several years, but especially over the course of the past several weeks. The Brandon Ayuk situation, then there's the Pearsall situation, then there's the situation of this car, the driverless car making a right turn. There's the Brazen Head, great restaurant in San Francisco. We're going to pass Union Street, go up Pack Heights here. We'll see what the route is. But we just had so much premature reporting, so much false reporting, and so many rumors that it's just like, people, get in touch with your emotions here. Like, corral it, control it. Ricky Pearsall has not even had a chance to play a single game yet. Yet there's been this rush to try to call him a bust, this rush to judgment where it's just sit back. It's training camp. It's preseason. The regular season has not yet started. The guy has to at least have an opportunity, right? He has to at least have an opportunity to play. And all this talk about Pearsall and not being able to play, having to potentially need to have surgery, all really put to bed by the fact that he's coming back to practice tomorrow. So I'll give you the truth on Ricky Pearsall. We'll have a firm update here as we are on a 45-degree hill working our way up Pack Heights. What a day it was in San Francisco today. And you guys get to catch the last of it. Jeez, I hope we don't start rolling downhill on that stop sign. This is crazy. The car is being taxed heading up this hill, but this is one of the most beautiful neighborhoods in San Francisco, so I'll give you a front view of it. My car sometimes starts rolling down these hills when I stop at these stop signs. Thankfully, they got a good reverse brake on this Jaguar, or Jaguar, depending on how you pronounce it. Anyway, Pearsall is going to be back at practice tomorrow. Let's just pump the brakes, see if he can heal up fully from the shoulder injury, and then actually evaluate how he might do during actual NFL games. Is that too much to ask, or do we have to label Ricky Pearsall before he has a chance to do any of that? Like, seriously. Here's some context for you. Brandon Ayuk missed his first regular season game. If people were this overboard with their Brandon Ayuk analysis back in 2020, they would have called Brandon Ayuk a bust because he missed his first 2020 game, his rookie season, that was against the Cardinals at home with an injury. They would have said Brandon Ayuk is a bust, and they would have been very, very wrong. Injuries are random in the NFL. Injuries are unpredictable in the NFL. And injuries have to be accounted for when we make NFL judgment. It should not be shocking, and it should not be like, oh my God, this player is not going to work out because of an injury when one happens. In the case of Ricky Pearsall, he currently has a shoulder injury. It's called rotation of the shoulder. So it is a partial dislocation of his shoulder. Does not necessarily mean there is damage to his shoulder, structural damage. And in this case, Kyle Shanahan confirmed that Ricky Pearsall does not, in fact, have structural damage to his shoulder. So we have that detail. We then know that Ricky Pearsall had the partial dislocation happen again during OTAs and then one more time during training camp. So that's not good, right? It's happened three times. If you're the 49ers, you are very incentivized to find a way to make sure that this does not happen again, or at least find a way to minimize the chances of this partial dislocation of the shoulder happening to Ricky Pearsall again. But here's where context is really important. Most NFL players suffer a partial shoulder dislocation. It's a violent sport. It's not like Ricky Pearsall is the only player who's seeing this happen to him. Now, he, I think, is a little bit more of a rarity in that it's happened three times to him. So the 49ers obviously want to get this under control. How they get it under control? Well, they've got medical professionals, they have trainers, they have a strength staff. Hopefully they're all working on the same page, and they've decided that slow playing Ricky Pearsall's return to make sure that his shoulder is not tender is what's going to get him back into action and staying back in action. So we've seen over the past couple weeks, Ricky Pearsall has wanted to come back onto the field. The 49ers have had to protect him from himself, and they've said no. And now he's finally come back onto the field, or he's set to come back onto the field tomorrow. So the strategy that the 49ers have used, and I'll turn on the light here so you can see me a little bit better. The strategy that the 49ers have used has been to slow play the Ricky Pearsall return. Will it work? We'll see. We're passing Japantown now, by the way, in San Francisco. There's the Hotel Kabuki. There's the Japan Center. There's the bridge over Geary. And now we wait at Geary and Webster. Beautiful, beautiful night. So you've got to give the process that the team has prescribed and that Ricky Pearsall is following a chance before you make actual judgment. And that's why it's already so ridiculous, all the takes of bust and everything that I saw on Friday. Those have all aged so poorly, just like every single premature Brandon Ayuk report has aged really poorly. Right? Because he's going to practice tomorrow. So give it time. Brandon Ayuk missed his first 49ers game. People didn't freak out in this fashion. So people should not be freaking out in any fashion regarding Ricky Pearsall right now. Now, here's the next thing, and we can transition from talking about the shoulder injury to talking about Ricky Pearsall on the football field. And this is where I also see a lot of biased reporting. It seems like there are a lot of people that, for whatever reason, just want Ricky Pearsall to not play well for the 49ers. So we saw this in rookie minicamp. Literally a week after the 49ers drafted Ricky Pearsall, he shows up at rookie minicamp. There's absolutely nothing that a player can prove or disprove in rookie minicamp. It is a light practice. There aren't pads on. It means it's an acclimatization practice. It's one of those, it's like a happy hour where you're just getting to meet your fellow employees, obviously without the alcohol. There were immediately reports coming out of that first practice that Ricky Pearsall didn't look good. Here's the context. There's no way that he could look good or bad in a rookie minicamp. Unless he had never played football before, he's going to look okay at the rookie minicamp. That's how you knew that all of this stuff was just made up. So there obviously was a biased agenda to try to make Ricky Pearsall or try to report that his initial practice wasn't good. Why? I have no idea why. But it just wasn't possible at that point to paint any kind of judgment on Ricky Pearsall. And that just goes to show you that, I guess, sitting back and waiting is not the popular modus operandi right now of, covering the 49ers on social media. So then Ricky Pearsall showed up to training camp. And obviously, he had the hamstring injury. And it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't the shoulder injury that has been recurring for him that sidelined him for the start of training camp. It was a hamstring injury. I also saw an incorrect report in that regard, that it was actually the shoulder injury that was sidelining him. It was a hamstring injury that occurred while Pearsall was running routes in Arizona. He was sidelined at the start of training camp, and then he made his return. Pearsall actually, and you wouldn't know this, if you're looking at some of these reports, he actually looked really good over the course of the few days that he was healthy. He got a deep touchdown pass from Brock Purdy that, to me, just lit up practice on the very first play. He was separating even when the football wasn't going in his direction. Got to show you guys a nice shot of San Francisco City Hall. Working our way down Fulton Street, which is lined up perfectly with City Hall. There you go. Beautiful. They're like that up in 49ers colors when the playoffs come or when a big game comes. But I think right now at Golden Hour, it's just a great time to see it. We're going to be turning right on Laguna. We're going to go by Hayes Valley. This is the new Trader Joe's in Hayes Valley. This Trader Joe's that they opened right here. That was a big deal when that came open here in San Francisco. But it, Pearsall looked good. It's been limited action for him over the course of training camp, but he's separated well. He's caught the football. He's even climbed the elevator to make a few of these catches. And you know, even more importantly, he's blocked successfully. And he's blocked with real willingness to block. There's the Trader Joe's in Hayes Valley, the first supermarket, like larger supermarket in this neighborhood. I know that it meant a lot to people. I used to live in Hayes Valley. We're actually going to drive by my former apartment right now, so that will be neat. But the ability of Ricky Pearsall and the willingness to block away from the football is something that stood out to me over his, what was it, 5-6 practices with the 49ers. So then the shoulder injury happened again, and people just seem to forget about how much he impressed the 49ers in his time out there. So it's a standard case of a guy learning how to keep his body healthy at the NFL level. Brandon Ayuk had to do it. He missed week one of 2020. Now Ricky Pearsall has to find a way to do it. And given the fact that he's returning to practice tomorrow, there's a chance that he doesn't miss week one of the 2024 season. So it's yet another example. Here's Hayes Valley. Great little German restaurant on the corner. This used to be a really good champagne bar. I think they're closed right now. It used to be called the Riddler. Unfortunate. Domo Sushi was really good, and then I lived right up this alley. I lived right up Linden Street. Unfortunately, don't have a spot there anymore. But we always went to Domo, which was a great kind of creative sushi roll place, which you can see on the sidewalk here. Now you can see Casper just passing a double parked car. To me, that's impressive. I think that the technology on these cars has improved so much over time. You used to get stuck behind those double parked cars. Now you don't get stuck anymore. Now you pass them and you wait at the next red light. Pretty soon these cars are going to fly, so we won't have to worry about the red lights. So use this Ricky Pearsall story and the reporting about it as yet another cautionary tale of people jumping the gun. I mean, seriously, to all of 49ers Twitter, I feel, was arguing about whether or not he was a bust. It's not an argument you should be having before he's even had a chance to play a game. The facts of this case are that he has a shoulder issue, that the 49ers are slow playing in rehab to try to figure out, and that he's looked good while he's been out there, and that he's actually scheduled to return to practice tomorrow. Those are the only three things that matter. It's not time to argue about whether or not Ricky Pearsall's a bust. It's not time to, you know, wax poetic or, lose it over the 49ers' ability or inability to draft. They've actually drafted really well over the course of the Shanahan-Lynch regime. It's all a gigantic scorecard that has turned out and yielded the best roster in the NFL. It's not time for any of that. You don't need a take at every single second of the day. Sometimes the appropriate answer is to sit back and let a situation evaluate. Like, let a situation happen so you can evaluate it. And that's exactly where the 49ers are with Ricky Pearsall right now. I'm looking forward to seeing him at practice tomorrow. All right, let's take some of your questions. I've got about 9 minutes to go before I have a burrito from Taqueria Cancun. So I'm looking forward to it. We have the first comment. No one is a bust yet. It's still the preseason. It's ridiculous how toxic the environment has become, to the point where people think they can make negative judgments based on the preseason. Somebody's talking about Javon Kinlaw, who actually turned into a decent contributor for the 49ers in his fourth season. Now he's with the Jets, so San Francisco's going to see him in week one. Have I predicted a record this year? 12-5. I'll say 12-5 for the 49ers. Is Pearsall the only rookie that hasn't played? Yes, he is. And you know what? The rest of this rookie class for the 49ers has looked really, really good. Renardo Green in the second round, Dominic Pooney in the third round, Malik Mustafa and Isaac Guerrero in the fourth round, all the way through Tatum Bethune in the seventh round for the 49ers. All those guys have contributed for San Francisco so far. This is on track to be the draft class that they needed to keep this roster as sustainable. They're up against the salary cap. They need an infusion of young talent. It looks like the 49ers have indeed been able to build that with this draft class. And the cherry on top, ironically, can be the rookie, can be the first round rookie, can be Ricky Pearsall. So this hand wringing is just so out of proportion. It's so premature. It really, really doesn't make a lot of sense. And I get that people need their clicks in the short term, but when they've been wrong over and over and over and over and over again, most recently with the Brandon Ayuk situation, when there's been so much false reporting that's been premature in that regard, maybe it's time to give it a rest, and maybe it's time to just actually let a situation play out. We're crossing Market Street. I thought I would be able to see one of those cool little trolleys, but unfortunately, no, the retro trolleys that they have going here through San Francisco. We passed another double parked vehicle. That's cool. Do I ever talk to Ayuk? I talked to him briefly. I saw him. I said, hey, what's up? And he said, hey, what's up? A couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's been 3 weeks now. It was actually maybe a day before the handshake and the hug situation. He seemed really happy. I've seen him out on the practice field. So that was a question. Do you talk to Brandon Ayuk? And I guess the answer is technically yes, but not very often. Questions are open right now. I'm open to answer the good ones. Yannick Ngakoue, I think that's a possibility to sign. I'll tell you what, I think the 49ers will be open to defensive end additions coming this week when they cut down their 53-man roster. It seems to me that the exterior lines on both sides are sketchy as far as depth goes for the 49ers, maybe even as far as starting talent goes for San Francisco along the offensive line. So the problem is that it's hard to find really good players for the exterior lines. That usually is the hardest place to find players. You know, everybody says, why did the 49ers draft a tackle? Well, you usually have to be a bad team to draft a tackle that's good enough to start right away. It's like, okay, well, the 49ers could tank and get a top 10 pick, and then maybe they can have a premier tackle. But if that doesn't happen, then it's probably more efficient to find a guard in the draft. And that's exactly what the 49ers did. The injury updates, for those of you who didn't watch the previous update video, Leonard Floyd is day-to-day, and Yetur Gross-Matos is week-to-week. Michael Powers says, I've been really impressed by Curtis Robinson this offseason. Do you think they could sneak him onto the practice squad if necessary? You know, they've done maneuvers like that in the past with Curtis Robinson. There was a year that he made the 53-man roster. I have also been very impressed with him so far. And I mentioned a little bit earlier today that the 49ers have actually traded linebackers at around this time of the year before. Most recently, Jonas Griffith to the Broncos, and before that, Dakota Watson. I think he actually also was traded to the Broncos. So if the league really believes in the 49ers linebacker development, as they should, because the 49ers have such a good track record at developing linebackers, and if the 49ers believe they have a surplus at that position, and they can get a draft pick back for somebody like Curtis Robinson, based on how well he has played this offseason, maybe that is a maneuver the 49ers make. I don't think that a trade is likely. It never is. But there are a handful of players for whom it is possible if the 49ers get the right offer here at the roster cutdown. Good question there from Michael Powers, who actually I've met in person a couple times. Good guy. Thanks, Michael. Here's the 500 Club. Good bar. We're going down Guerrero. We're probably going to be turning on 19th Street, giving you guys another look at the city. This is 18th right here. Yeah, we're going to be turning. Well, no, we're going to turn on 18th. All right. I see you, Casper, turning a little bit early. Cool. I have time for a couple more questions before we hit Taqueria Cancun. Why didn't Shanahan answer my Kingston Nugent question? Probably because he doesn't want to let people know they really like Kingston and Nugent. But unfortunately for the 49ers, there's tape out there, and I'm not afraid to ask the question. Well, one of my main thing was, you know, these guys have played well. What does the coach think? Right before the roster cut down, if the coach doesn't want to answer, usually means that, yeah, I think that they played well too. I'm not as paranoid as football coaches. I feel that the league, I would hope that the league is doing its homework. They should know who's good, you know, even without a head coach spilling it to the media. But it was funny to me the way that Kyle Shanahan and did not answer that question. All right, I got about a minute. We're going to turn down this alley. This is cool. I love the back alleys of the Mission, and I love watching driverless cars turn. It's always fascinating to me seeing this wheel pull itself. And there's a Jeep trying to make the same turn that we are. Hopefully it doesn't try to cut us off. Otherwise, the AI is going to be put to the test. As you can see, we got a lot of people trying to cross, so we're waiting to make the turn. Good. We have precedent over this Jeep. And we're going to go down Linda Alley, which is one of the neat alleys in the back of the Mission on the way to Taqueria Cancun. The Mission is flat compared to other neighborhoods in San Francisco, which have such a, you know, steep incline on some of the streets. The Mission is much flatter. Here we are. We're a little bit stuck. We've got to make the left turn. This guy's going to get in his trunk. So it's going to take a few minutes. That's okay. We can talk for a little bit longer. Somebody said they've seen one of these Waymos get pulled over before. I think this guy's going to take his time, which is okay. That means we can talk for a little bit longer. Harry says he can't cut Kingston with Kingsbury coaching at Washington now. This is really funny. The car, our driverless car is creeping up on this guy in front of us. And like, no, like, we're gonna threaten him. The car's going to creep up on him. It's like, okay, I don't think he's going to move. Maybe that causes him to move faster. I'm not going to put that guy on blast, though. Yeah, he's moving quick. AI is getting way too advanced. He's moving. It's all good. It's wild that they programmed the slow creep on the double parker in front of us, as you know, it's part of the technology of these driverless cars. I think we should have just gone straight to 19th Street and turned left on Guerrero. I don't know why we did the whole 18th Street detour, but
almost there.
We are arriving, so it's gonna all be good. Any more questions? I've got 10 more seconds. Zakel or Barch? Which one makes the roster? Ooh, that's tough. That's really, really tough. Zakel is younger, but Zakel's also entering year 3 of his rookie deal, so it's not like they've got 4 years of rookie control. Ben Barch, meanwhile, he got poached off Jacksonville's practice squad last year, so he's a guy that could get poached again if you're the 49ers. Especially since he's strengthened over that time, coming off the knee dislocation. So, I would say Barch. But what do I know? I do know that I'm passing the Giants mural here in the Mission. There you go. You can see the Giants logo. And I'm coming up on Taqueria Cancun. Oh, you know what I'm going by? I'm going by the Al Pastor Taco Spit. What a finish that will be. There it is. The Al Pastor Taco Spit over on Mission. And we've now made the turn. And I am here. I have made it to Taqueria Cancun. You guys should all go check it out. Talk to everybody soon. I've got to go eat. Please make sure.